Well, we'll take your calls and we'll continue chatting with Major Ed Dames about the future, your future, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Major Ed Dames with us. We'll take your calls as well as we talk about some of his past and present predictions. This canceling of the election. And you know what's interesting? I just saw a story today where there is another person making a prophetic guess that there's not going to be a 2016 election. It's mind-boggling. Eddie, you with us?
Roger.
There you go. You were remote viewing somewhere.
Actually, I was taking a look at this sunspot again. I'm watching it quite closely.
It's getting bigger.
It's not just getting bigger. It'll stay about the same size, but the damage that it can cause, and there's a good likelihood that it may, is as enormous as it is. It's facing right at us. As I mentioned, it's one of the biggest, most threatening sunspots I've seen in 15 years of observation, actually more.
Oh, it's huge.
It's lined right up, and on the backside of the sun are its kin. So that's why I'm saying this is, I'm going to put my neck on the line a little bit. We all knew as professionals that 2014 was the beginning, and this guy not only augurs in, but ushers in a kill shot sequence.
Well, I was saying while you were out looking at the sunspot, of course, wherever you may be, how could you see the sunspot, right? It's dark out now, Ed.
Oh, yeah, but the internet can see everything. I look at NASA's website.
You're not alone. Some other people are saying there may not be an election in 2016. I mean, I find that mind-boggling, but people are starting to say that.
That's intuition and revelation, and we as RV remote viewing professionals, we don't have any monopoly on the truth. We just have a monopoly on precision and accuracy, except with regard to time. The location we finally solved that. But time is still our bugbear. But we do have precise methods so that we can describe an event very accurately. But I did not use remote viewing in my forecast of no election. I actually just use common sense, just analysis and looking at the situation, knowing who is behind the puppets in charge of our so-called government, that kind of thing.
So I cannot bend your arm to tell us about that X-37B, huh?
No, sir. I really would like to talk about it, but there's some things in some governments, ours included, that are so classified that there are Sunday punch. Let's take, for example, some of the things. There are real UFOs that from other galaxies and other dimensions, so let's say, observing us and here interacting with us. And we've talked about that on the show. But there are other UFOs that belong to us and belong to other people. And in our case, these are our Sunday punch. You don't use them unless it's absolutely serious, that it's your last bet. Then you use it, because if you use these things ahead of time, you tip them off to a potential enemy that you're going to use. And I don't want to go into a lot of examples, but you get the message. So, yeah, there's a lot of things in our inventory, let's say, that would be construed as UFOs. I think some of your listeners are aware of this.
When do you go back to St. Petersburg?
I go back in December and in February. I bounce back and forth now from there to here.
Yeah, you're like me too. Just that's what we do. Let's go to the phones. Wesley is in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, to get us started. Hey, Wes, go ahead.
Listening to you with much interest. Would you be able to give us any kind of a forecast for the coming years in the Northeast USA, especially in the area around New York? I don't mean just the city, but in a radius of maybe 100, 2 miles or so around it.
And you're looking for what, weather-related or anything?
No, your predictions or what you have been seeing, what you have been viewing about the future here.
The future in that area, Mr.
No, there is no future for there. Nothing in the Northeast U.S. or into Canada. There isn't anything. And, when we look at this, it isn't just grid-wise. It looks as if that there's a problem with some of the reactors, if not all of the reactors, the large power plants, nuclear reactors, unlike Huron, that they may shut down prematurely. They may not shut down the correct way. I mean, when you run out of diesel fuel, you can no longer cool those things. and then if they release plumes, it goes over that direction. It heads to the southeast, and that's our best guess about why no sanctuary locations pop up in the U.S. Northeast. None.
That's another problem. If that grid goes down and we lose power, those generators aren't going to last forever to keep those power plants cooled.
Even if you did have time, let's say there's not an earthquake, looking at the New Madrid fault, if there's an earthquake, you have no time to shut a reactor down. You have more Fukushimas and Chernobyls. But if you have time to shut the reactor down, you still have to cool it. And if you run out of diesel fuel because trucks and trains can't get that to you, you still have the same problem.
Yes, you do. Okay, we go now to St. Louis. Derek's with us. Welcome to the show, Derek. You are on the air.
Well, Ed, I got a question for you. You brought up the New Madrid fault line. I live here in St. Louis, but my family's from Piedmont, Missouri, about 2 hours south. I got 52 acres down there, wood-burning stove, a spring that comes up through the ground. But if something ever happened, I always thought if I could just get down there, I'd be safe. But what do you see with what's like 2 hours south of St. Louis? I know it's close to the fault line there.
No, you're probably okay, especially in terms of plumes and other things, except there are other factors, and there are many. There's a myriad of factors in terms of personal sanctuaries or in terms of sanctuaries in general, sanctuaries that allow you to escape most of the ramifications of both the kill shot and Fukushima. There, in that particular area, and I know wherever I speak, you may be okay. But one of the problems you might have is the community. If the community doesn't have enough skill sets, dentist, doctor, an abscess tooth will kill you. You have to have that as what people need people. So it can't be a big city necessarily, although there are some exceptions. But the community itself needs a number of skill sets because there won't be any ATMs working and gas pumps and things like that. You'll need to help each other. So keep that. Those are the kinds of things that pop up when we look at individual sanctuaries.
Are you concerned at all about the country as a whole? I mean, you think we're going to bounce back, or is it over?
No. We've had a great time. It's been a ball. We've been in the fast lane for 240 years.
You're saying the run's over?
We've had. Everybody else has funded our credit cards and all of that. It is over. It is over. It has been wonderful, but it's over.
Sean.
Everything has a beginning and an end. Relationships, empires, people, lives, money, fiat currency.
Let's hope it's not, but geez. East of the Rockies, Sean is with us, truck driving in Virginia. Sean, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Sean. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been trying to talk to you for the past couple of years, and I've never been able to get through. So, you're a person that I listen to every once in a while, and you always have on guests that are very informative and, pretty much are with the times and know what they're talking about. So I enjoy your guests as well as you being on the radio as well.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. You have a question? Or was
Well, I apologize. I caught the tail end of talking about NASA, so I got grilled for that. But, when it comes to what he was just talking about right now, as far as with the our country itself, it's not just our country. It's happening all over the place. That's why you have things with the Middle East, with Egypt starting, and Tunisia, all the dictators are falling and everything else. It's all by design. I mean, it's all happening in unison with each other. So we shouldn't be surprised, because you look at history, and they always say that history repeats itself. So you look at the Romans, you look at the Egyptians, the Egyptians, they actually had the people believe that they were actually gods, the pharaohs. So, we've tried and tried and tried, yet for some reason, man just gets to the top, and he gets so greedy that they forget about who they are and the people that are under them, which is us. And so the foundation collapses and everything just falls with it. And I feel that, like, right now that we're not paying attention to the ball. The shell game is being played, and yet we're just being tricked, and not focusing on what's at hand. And what's going on is it's about to come to the light, to where you're going to see it in front of you as opposed to just talking about it. And right now you hear it all over the place. You hear it in the news. You hear it in the rock songs. You hear it in blues songs, country songs, entertainers, actors. There's so much that's going on to where it's like another Sodom and Gomorrah, another Babylon.
Yeah.
You know, another situation that everybody is going to just see it for themselves, to where no longer is it going to be the crazy guy talking on the corner and saying, oh, Armageddon is coming, Armageddon is coming. And look at that crazy guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You're actually seeing it firsthand right now. It's in the light. So it's all written, whether it's the Quran, whether it's the Christian Bible, whether it's the Torah. All of it goes back to the Old Testament. They all believe in the same thing. But yet the difference has come from like Jesus Christ and Muhammad and everything else. And the Holy War also is at play right now. You know, you realize the Americans back in the days didn't fight wars for religion. They fought wars against Japan for the two atom, you know, the Pearl Harbor. They fought Vietnam because of the communism. They fought Korea. You know, they fought over in Germany, you know, against Hitler and everything else. It wasn't because of religion. But yet we have entertained the Nation of Islam into religion to where now we are in a holy war that has no end. And that's the problem. Wars are always fought and won. And Americans are always the ones that are the victors because it's not because of religion. Something that these people believe in to where we are the Zionists. We are, to them, evil.
Well, see, we haven't had a victory in a long time, though, as far as I'm concerned. Vietnam, we didn't win. I don't think we won Iraq by any means. Ed, what does the future look like for stuff like that?
Well, no, it's all grim. Except we have had one victory, even though it may not last long. In terms of history, we had one victory, and that was freedom. We showed the rest of the world what freedom means. And I think if there's any victory at all, it was that signal to the rest of the world. This is what it means to be a free country, a free man, a free woman.
How much does prophecy echo what you've been seeing over the years?
Well, we're not prophets. You know, we're professionals at what we
do.
Right.
And well, maybe prophecy follows you.
No, I have no idea. I just, you know, simple man, and we can only look in certain directions. Our resources are limited. You know, people ask us, for instance, why didn't you see 9/11 coming? We weren't looking that way. We're looking at other things. But in terms of prophecy, yeah, there have been similarities. But there's so much prophecy, and by so many people. The biblical prophets. The ones that I think they really were seeing something that loomed so large in terms of time and space that they could see it easily because of who they were. That was revelation. Yeah, but we see similarities, of course.
Mark is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to the program, Mark. You're on with Ed Dames. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Good. I just want to ask Major Dames regarding the solar flare hitting the planet, of course, sweeping across America and the globe, and the effect of an extreme drought, and I presume that this is going to affect temperatures and increase temperatures significantly. Would that be right?
No, not necessarily. It's not just one flare. The kill shot is a sequence of flares.
Bang, bang,
across
bang.
Across a broad period of time. And yes, temperatures will raise, but the will go up. But the primary problem there is weather changes. If the temperatures go up, you're going to have enormous cyclonic. I predicted an F5 cyclone years ago. Scientists said it was impossible. Well, one popped up. In fact, another one popped up behind it not too long ago. Temperature changes will result in drastic weather changes. But again, we're not, especially in terms of drought, we're not talking about a single flare. We're talking about a series of flares. We're in the second peak of a solar max, which is rare. There aren't many solar maxes that have two peaks. But this one does. And the second peak just started. It's going to do the darns to us, especially things like this flare. This is active region. This particular active region has about 7 more days across the visible disk. And it produced an M-class flare a week and a half ago when it was on the backside of the sun. So we're looking at a possible X10 or something like that, which is going to do some damage. It causes satellites to...
Oh, my God, yeah, an X10
drag,
will do that.
The drag, the atmosphere, they change orbits.
And if it's facing us directly, it could be huge.
Facing us directly, you're in trouble in the space station. You're in trouble in the high altitude aircraft. You've got commo satellites and GPS systems that go awry and that are off meters sometimes or more or destroyed.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Major Ed Dames, remote viewer, Cornelius in Montana. Go ahead, Cornelius. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, George, for taking my call. And
sure.
Thank you, George, for what you do. Been a listener for years, and want to first thank Major Dan for his service. The military certainly appreciate that, Major. And Major, I've been following you for years, and you know, in terms of the kill shot, you know, I've followed your predictions, and I guess what is a little bit concerning to me, other than the fact that the kill shot might happen, is that, you know, I've heard 2011. 12, 13, I mean, there was that window where it was going to happen, you know, it didn't, and I understand that, you know, remote viewing is not an exact science by any stretch, but I guess what is a little troublesome to me is that, you know, with the, you know, those types of prediction and with the, you know, large audience that you have that, you know, with that, I think, you know, there is a big responsibility and, you know,
there is, and I want to point out one thing. NASA admitted a couple of months ago that a kill shot type of a destructive effect almost occurred in 2012, but they didn't go public with the information. So it isn't just me. You know, we do the best that we can. Scientists do the best that they can, and yeah, there is a responsibility here, and I am going to take a hit if I'm wrong. And
you have. You've admitted it when you're wrong. I mean, you don't hide.
Yeah. The big thing is time. We still have not knocked the time. The best that we could do was these precursor events that we talked about, which have already happened. Fukushima. I predicted Fukushima, and that happened. And that was a precursor event. And Fukushima is a huge disaster. And I'm saying that the kill shot sequence is just as bad, if not worse, as Fukushima, the gift that keeps on giving. We've been trying to save lives and warn people, and it's over. I'm telling it like it is right now. I'm going to go on the road, give people the rest of the story, and then I'm out of here. I have nothing else to say. I've said it all on Coast to Coast.
Well, you're not retiring, though, are you?
Semi-retirement, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, are you ever going to talk to me again?
Of course, contact is a huge thing for me. It's the acme of my career. Contact with higher intelligences. It could be extra-dimensional, interdimensional, extraterrestrial. There's lots of folks out there watching us. I use folks loosely, but that's a big thing with me. And I think it's imperative if we're going to make the same mistakes again. We're going to rebuild this planet and make the same mistakes again. Just like our truck driver said. You know, human nature is human nature, and we need to break that cycle.
We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with Dr. Doom, Major Ed Dames. Yeah, I don't think he calls himself Dr. Dooms much anymore, but let's find out why. We shall be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Kelly Sullivan Walden joins us. We talk about dreams, superstitions, and pre-Halloween. So make sure you're part of that. Major Ed Dames was a guest of ours on Beyond Belief some time ago, but you can still watch it. Just go into the archives. Here's the website, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back with Major Ed Dames. Ed, where does China fit into this equation? What are they up to these days?
Well, as I've said before in your show, they are uniting, as many of your listeners know, because your listeners are fairly astute. They're united with Russia in dissolving the petrodollar paradigm, and that's pretty much where they stand. Very smart. Their long-range plans are 50 years of it, as I mentioned before, as opposed to the U.S., which is about 50 days.
50 days, yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And Russia and China are very quiet about what they're doing. Very quiet indeed. But those of us in the know what they're doing, especially people like me. I speak the language. My sons are half Chinese, brilliant scientists, one of them, and I live in Russia now. So I have my finger on the pulse of things. They'll replace the U.S. as the new superpower, and that will have its own lifespan.
Well, their economy has already passed us, according to the latest report.
Yes, yes. and they're going to let North Korea off the leash for a while to engage the U.S. and that will sap the rest of any strength that we have, our resources, money, and equipment, and that will set the stage for a new world order. But it won't be the new world order that will be dictated by the likes of the Rothschilds in the West. It'll be a different new world.
Really?
Yes.
All right, that's going to be interesting to see. Let's go to Stan in Santa Rosa, California, first-time caller. Stan, you're on with Ed Dames.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First-time caller here. Ed, I was just wondering, what do you see for Northern California? I know we just had an earthquake here not too long ago. What do you see? You see any more big earthquakes coming?
I haven't looked at earthquakes other than the San Madrid fault, but I'm too concerned. Earthquakes are eclipsed by earthquakes are, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of thing, where Fukushima is an eternal gift, the gift keeps on giving problem in terms of genetic mutations and genetic damage. It's far, far, far more serious than any earthquake could ever be, no matter what the magnitude. And I mean that. So that's what I've been looking at.
Okay, thanks, Stan. Appreciate it. Mary Jo is in Cincinnati and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, Ed. I wanted to ask you, I have a Russian friend that lives here with me, and he's been trying to get back to Russia. And I know you mentioned one time Russia might be a bit safer to be in. And if he could get back to Russia, I think that would be wonderful. I'm too old to move and go anywhere. So my time is up. I'm accepting that.
There are actually more sanctuary locations, personal sanctuary locations and general sanctuary locations in North America and the U.S. than there are in Russia and Ukraine for reasons that I talk about in my present closed-door presentations. But that's the case. That is the case. So he does not need to go back to Russia for that. Culturally, in terms of Mad Max scenarios, Russia is a far, far better place to be, most of Russia, not Moscow necessarily, but most of Russia, certainly St. Petersburg, than many parts of the U.S., but that's qualified.
So when you talk about the surviving the kill shot, what are some of the ingredients to survive?
One of the key ingredients is to be away from marine and airborne plumes from Fukushima. That's one. The second is to be away from large cities, with some exceptions. For instance, Christchurch, New Zealand, is a good exception, and I talk about this things like this extensively in my presentations. But generally speaking, be out of the cities if you can. And I know some people do not have the resources to do this, and they will face hard times, and they will die. Many of them will face death. I understand this. Things change. We all live and die. But fresh water is key. Fresh water is absolutely key, because it's going to be much more valuable than gold and oil. In the future, and that's a key thing. Communities that are large enough to have enough trades where people can exchange those skills for each other, and you know, 20,000 people, a community of 20,000 people, compartmentation that's not necessarily far from the madding crowd, but you have to be away and be able to protect yourself from marauders who cannot drive because there's no gas; they have to walk. But still, if you're too close and exposed, for instance, there are good places where you can grow crops in Colorado. But if you're out in the open plains, you have to protect your farm and your house 24/7, and you cannot do that alone. That's why communities are so important. So there's a lot of different criteria. And then there are personal things, too. Sanctuary clients that I have, I'm looking at administrative things, logistic things. There might be an optimum place for you to go, but let's say your mother has pancreatic cancer and there's no hospital there to take care of them, then your own unconscious knows don't go there. You need to go to this second place that might not be optimum, but it's still not only survivable, it offers a quality of life. Lots of factors. But unconscious does all sorts and sifts this. It's the master problem solver.
Blake is in Dodge City, Kansas. Welcome to the program. Blake, you're up with us.
Thank you, George. I wanted to ask the Major how much of this activity that's on the sun could be related to our galactic, or the solar system alignment. We're crossing through the galactic plane right now, and I'm wondering if we have a core anomalies both in the Earth and the Sun that is leading up to these events. It happens every 10,000 years, I think. Somebody says that we cross the center.
I don't know. I know that our belief, based upon our work over the last 25 plus years, is that there does what we're about to this phase that we're about to enter in, or at least the sun's about to enter in terms of a epicycle. It seems to relate to something that occurred the last time about 11,500 years ago, nominally. But in terms of passing through the galactic plane and relationships or connectivity there, I know nothing about that. Nothing. I can't establish any connection. I mean, I haven't tried.
Okay, thanks, Blake. Melanie in Golden Valley, Arizona. Welcome to the show. Melanie, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sure
yes,
can.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. It's a two-part question. I'll try to keep it quite brief. Are remote viewers seeing only events in this dimensional Earth and time stream? And have any remote viewers seen any evidence at all of planetary time jumping taking place to avoid major catastrophic events?
No and no.
No and no. Okay.
Hey, Ed, Nibiru, do you see this extra planet anywhere?
We know that there's a big thing, that a large passing space body. People who are familiar with my original kill shot work know that there's a large passing space body that's either concomitant with the kill shot sequence, or actually aggravates it or facilitates it. But we don't know if this is connected with the idea of Nibiru, and we don't even know if Nibiru is real, because my professional team hasn't done any work on that. We've done some cursory work, but there's nothing that we can get our teeth into in terms of Nibiru. But I wouldn't discount it because of that, obviously.
No, not at all. Mark is in Oregon now. Welcome to the show, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George and Ed.
Hi.
Great to speak with you. Ed, I know you to be a very intuitive person. It's your profession, basically. I wanted to ask you the area of Nibiru I was going to ask you about. You answered that very well. I have the honor of George stealing my thunder there. And the other area, Ed, is the Great Tribulation. Now, I know if I understand what you said in the past, that you have to have a specific event in which to remote view upon, as opposed to a period of time. And I understand that, and I'm wondering your personal view on a scriptural level relative to the world events that we see today happening around us, and also your professional view, if you've ever actually remote viewed any of the events described in Revelation, such as the coming of the Antichrist, for instance.
Yeah. One thing, I'm not intuitive. I do not allow myself to be intuitive. I only trust my skills, my professional skills, number one. In terms of the Great Tribulation, we would have to use that as what we call in our business a topical search. That we do 6 remote viewing probes, 45 minutes each, to determine what we're dealing with. You know, is the question coherent? Is it real? If not, is it a myth, a legend, a combination of myth, legend, or reality? Those kinds of things. In terms of Revelation, yes, we've hit most of the topics I have out of interest. 666, Mark of the Beast, False Prophet. False Prophet is television.
You don't think of remote viewing as supernatural, do you?
No. No, nothing is supernatural. Everything to me is natural. What we call supernatural is people who are afraid of the unknown, or a lot of scientists are. I've run into them myself. They have their nice little boxes and their cultural conditioning, their great little box, but they're afraid to be outside that box. Death is a big one. Oh, lots of people are afraid of death because it's unknown. No, it's all natural. It's all natural. Miracles are natural, too. You just have to be able to know how to do it and what's going on, be able to perceive that. But it's a natural world. There's nothing supernatural about it.
Besides the kill shot, Ed, do you see anything truly huge that could happen to us? A third world war, anything like that?
I see the wars, yes. and then they are terrible, but they're eclipsed by the planet becoming barren. Most of the planet just barren Earth. And then a period of time goes by, and another race comes in and helps us rebuild the planet. And other than that, there's nothing else I can tell you. In fact, like I've said, this is the end in terms of 20 years of coast to coast, you know, me jumping up on my soapbox. It starts now. So I'll go on the road, tell people about the rest of the story, which is sensitive, and I can't talk about it on the air. And then I will exit stage left for a while.
Wow, you're going to be available in case we need you?
I'll always be available somewhere in the world. I'll leave my forwarding address.
But you're just so come back and forth, though, aren't you?
Yes, for some interesting reasons. There's something in the States that we're looking at that's very, very interesting in terms of an artifact.
Huh.
Yeah, very significant.
The Ark of the Covenant.
No. The Ark of the Covenant is in the Middle East. If you read my autobiography, we
know
what it is. But there's something else.
Spacecraft?
And you need these skills. The unconsciousness tools are the future. They're the future. Consciousness creates all this stuff, whether it's a spacecraft or you name it. Consciousness creates that. So consciousness tools are what's needed to advance the future. You know, we've crawled out on this limb so far, this technological limb, that we've forgotten human potential and what we are. Humans are incredible. The consciousness tools are the lingua franca throughout the universe.
Denver, Colorado. Mary, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mary.
Thank you for having Ed on there, George. My husband and I have both been to your presentations, Closed Door. We appreciate the fact that you have found our sanctuaries. My biggest question is, since ours are in different spaces and populous space, is there advantage going to a smaller populous space to the sanctuary versus other one?
No, all sanctuaries, whether personal sanctuaries, are sanctuaries. But very rarely, as you know, because I've talked about this so often behind closed doors, these are personal things. Very, very, your personality comes into play here. So you have your choice. You can go to your own sanctuary location or your husband's personal sanctuary location, but either way, they're both sanctuaries.
Either way.
In my case, Natasha, my wife's sanctuary is about 300 kilometers away from mine. Guess which one we're going to?
Hers. Smart guy, Ed.
All right.
Kate is in Fairbanks, Alaska, first-time caller. Hi, Katie. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
First-time caller. Privilege to get on the
program. Well, welcome to the program.
I've listened for years. I'll make this quick. I do have a sanctuary question.
Sure.
Since Alaska is so big and thinly settled, is that a safe place, or is the interior? Because up here in Fairbanks, we've got a lot of skill sets. It's a city of 100,000, and people from all over the world come here and settle here. The military loves this.
I know of two sanctuary locations, excuse me, in Alaska. And just remember, the further you get away, if you're too close to the center of a large city, you have the Mad Max problem. If you're too far away, then you have a survival problem because you need other people, believe me. Your ammo's going to run out, and probably you're going to break a leg or something. You need other people, too. So there are two sanctuary locations in Alaska, and just so you know.
All right, thank you.
But if I give people the sanctuary locations, and then the others who are aware of that, all of a sudden they realize that, Dames was right, this stuff's coming down, and the grid just went down, or there's no comma, blah, blah, blah. They're going to go to the locations that I specified, and that location will be destroyed as a sanctuary location. And this actually happened because of Coast to Coast and me in the case of Whitefish, Montana, many years ago.
We go to Dennis in Columbia, South Carolina now. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Love your show. Listening for years. First-time caller. Major Dames, you talked about the New World Order, that you said the Rothschilds would not control it.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to be schnookered. they've been in the, you know, those folks have been, the bankers have been around and pulling the strings for a long time, and it's over for them. They're not going to win this one this time.
Well, who will be?
China and Russia.
China and Russia.
Yep.
Why am I not surprised? Also, sir, what do you know that you can tell us about HAARP?
I cannot talk about HAARP, my friend, for the same reason I cannot talk about that experimental spacecraft that the Air Force had it up for 2 years. I can't do that because although it's been a while since I've been on the inside, that those missions were still not just in the planning but operative when I was there. I can't talk about it. I'll be behind in the pokey or worse.
Is the old KGB going to grab you when you go over there?
FSB. The KGB is gone. It's the FSB now, too. They have a dossier on me a mile long since I was a young electronic warfare officer, too. No, they're not going to grab me. They gave me a 3-year multiple entry visa.
They want you.
Well, they know that I'm in possession of some skills that could help them. And in fact, I offered to find Shamil Basayev, because he was on my S list at number one for killing all those kids or trying to kill them. And so, you know, I'm a good guy.
All right. Well, don't let them do anything to you.
No, they won't.
The clock is getting us. Would you give us some information about that Surviving Killshot DVD?
It's not a DVD. The DVD is only given to people who attend the Surviving the Killshot national tour on
okay.
the forces.
Right.
So you can go to survivingthekillshot.com for that information, or you can call if you want to sign up. You can call a toll-free number and do that.
Okay, but you're giving away some passes and things like that, I'm told.
That's only for you guys on the staff.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
If they can go.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, let me give
we
you
pay.
That toll-free number before we sign off.
Go ahead. It's 866-607-8439. I'm prepared, right. Mr. Dames.
I'm not.
All right, take care of that cold, would you?
I will. Thanks.
All right, Ed Dames, remote viewer, Dr. Doom. Up next, as we talk about our pre-Halloween programming, of course, and we're going to keep doing this until Ghost to Ghost next Friday. Kelly Sullivan Walden joins me as we talk about dreams, superstitions, and some other things next.